find Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Now, last week I deviated. I preached a message from the book of Hebrews, but I've probably preached at least two, maybe three messages from the portion of Scripture that I'm going to be reading to you here this morning, especially noting what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 14. I haven't lost my mind. Okay. You know what you have in your hand? An unfathomable book.
Amen.
And so there are things here that you can preach three times, four times, and more times on, and still not get everything that's in it. And so hopefully with the help of the Holy Spirit this morning, I'm going to show you some things from this portion of Scripture that you maybe never have considered. All right, Galatians chapter 6, if you would please. I'll start reading in verse number 11. I'll read down to verse number 15. You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair shew in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, who are circumcised, keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. Notice again verse number 14. But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me pray and we'll get to the message. Heavenly Father, I have no ability this morning, and I confess it, Lord, to do what needs to be done in and of myself. But I'm thankful, Father, that I have your Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful, Father, I have the grace of God. And with the Holy Spirit and by the grace of God, I pray that you would give me a divine, heavenly enabling, Lord, so that I can communicate the truths that are contained in this portion of Scripture in such a way that it would effectually work in the hearts of those that have come to church today. God, as far as I know, probably everybody here today is saved. But if that's not so, and if there's one here who's never been born again, I pray that they'd see the cross like they've never seen it before. And dear God, I know that if they could see it like they've never seen it before, that today would be the day of their salvation. And dear God, I know who I'm talking to. The great majority of people I'm going to speak to are Christians this morning. They're saved. Dear God, but the things that we have to say go beyond their salvation experience. And so I pray, dear God, that we as Christians could get a hold of this thing this morning. And I know, Father, that if we could really get a hold of this as what we're going to put forth from the Scriptures, dear God, I realize and I know that it would be life-changing. And so, dear God, I pray that you'll bless the Word of God as it goes forth. I pray that you will be glorified. I pray that the Lord Jesus Christ would be exalted. And I pray, God, that you will do what man alone cannot do in the hearts of those that have come to church today. And I pray these things now in the name that's above every name, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most people have no understanding or a very limited understanding of the cross. to many, you understand this, that it's merely a symbol of Christianity. And they see it displayed maybe on a church building. They wear it on a chain about their neck. But they really don't know what the cross means. For if they understood the cross, they'd get saved. And they'd realize their need of a Savior and their forgiveness of sins. That's lost people for the most part. Now, many Christians, I'm talking about saved, born-again, blood-washed people, all right? They do not understand the cross for everything that it teaches and for everything that it represents. Yes, they believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins. Yes, they believe that he shed his blood there so they could have forgiveness of their sins and eternal life. Yes, they believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave on the third day, victorious over sin and death and the devil. But their understanding of the cross goes no further than their salvation experience. I've been saved. I've been born again. I trusted him as my personal Lord and Savior, but that's where it ends. Now, we sing a hymn. You've sung it many times. If you've been saved for any number of years, it's a song that was written many years ago by Isaac Watts. When I say the words, you'll understand and you'll remember the hymn. He said this, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." Stanza number 2, he said, "Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood." I'll stop right there and not give you the last two stanzas, but here's what I'm wanting you to realize. You see, when Isaac Watts wrote those words, remember how he starts out, "When I survey the wondrous cross." Do you know what that word "survey" means? It means to take an attentive view. It means to make an examination of all parts. In other words, Isaac Watts came to the cross and he looked upon that cross and he began to examine it from every aspect. Do you understand that? And as he examined it from every aspect, it takes some time to make an examination. But as he examined the cross from every aspect, some things came to mind in regard to what he saw, in regard to himself, and in regard to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so with that thought in mind, may I show you three truths for the message this morning. Here's the first one. Number one, the cross of Christ should enable you to understand something about yourself regarding your past. The cross of Christ should enable you to understand something about yourself regarding your past. Remember the first stanza that I just gave you a moment ago. "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss and pour contempt on all my pride." Before you got saved, your biggest sin was maybe not that you were a drunk. Your biggest sin was not that maybe you were immoral. Your biggest sin was not that you took drugs. Your biggest sin was not that you were a thief or something along those lines. All right? When you got saved, your biggest sin was pride. Pride of self. Remember what the book of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16, and then starting at verse number 17? Solomon said this, "These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him." And then he begins to list seven particular sins that God hates. And the first one on the list is a proud look. Because of your, and when I say your, I mean me too. So don't, you know, I'm not excluding myself. I'm in there. We're all in there because of our pride of self. We could not and did not love God, serve God, and live for God. I gave this verse of scripture to our Sunday school class this morning as I was teaching on the subject of the fruit of the Spirit, and the first one being love. Remember, someone came to the Lord Jesus Christ and said to him in Matthew's Gospel chapter 22, verse number 36, he said, "Master, what's the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind." He said, "This is the first and the great commandment." And everybody here would have to admit, before you got saved, every one of us was a violator. Every one of us had broken that very first commandment of loving God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. And because we did not love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, we did not serve God, we did not live for God, because you know who was on the throne of our heart? I was. You were. But when you come to the cross and you look at that cross and you start to contemplate about that cross, you know what that cross will do? It'll help you realize something about you, about me. May I illustrate for you what I'm talking about from the Bible? My illustration is the Apostle Paul. Go in your Bible. I want you to see it with your eye gate. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Two books over from Galatians, Philippians chapter 3. All right, and notice, let me begin reading in verse number 4. He says, "Though I might have confidence in the flesh." He's talking about now before he got saved, all right? Are you with me? This is before he came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. Before he met the resurrected Savior, before he came to the cross. He says, "If any man have confidence in the flesh," he says, "thinketh," or "if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof to trust in the flesh," he said, "I more." Look what he says. Here's the first thing. Talking about what? Pride. And realizing what you are. All right, look at what he says. "Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin." You know what Paul was proud about? He was proud about his ancestry. He was proud about his pedigree. He was proud about where he was from. That's human nature, for the most part. My ancestry is, I'm an Italian American. Yeah, Mamma Mia. Both of my grandparents, both sides of the family. You see, we're I'm not just part. I'm a pure pedigree. Amen. Okay? But hey, listen. People get proud about that. Yeah, Irish. Oh yeah, come on. Irish. All right? Or, you know, hey, Swiss, Switzerland, Germany, all right, Guatemalan, amen, Colombian, Mexican, Filipino, I'm this, Peruvian. Let me ask you a question. Yeah, the Greeks. Well, we're talking about ancestry. American Indian, okay. What did you have to do with your ancestry? What did you have to do with it? You had nothing to do with it. It just so happened that you were born that way. All right? But Paul was proud about his ancestry. You know what he said? I'm not like those. You know what a Gentile was considered? A dirty dog. You know what he's saying? I'm not a dirty dog. He said, you know, a Hebrew boy, I was raised a Hebrew, I was born a Hebrew, I was born from the tribe of Benjamin, and a Hebrew boy gets circumcised on the eighth day after he's been born. He said, I got a pedigree. You want to boast about your pedigree? He says, I got one. They brag about their pedigree. He's proud about that before he got saved. Then look at verse number 5 again. Notice what he says. He says, "An Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee." You know what he was proud about? Not only his ancestry, he was proud about his religion. He was proud about his religion. Oh, I'm this. Are you with me? Not only was he proud about his ancestry, not only was he proud about his religion, he was proud about how he lived. Look at verse number 6, if you would, please, or verse number 5 again. He says, as touching law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, he said, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is of the law. Look what he says, blameless. He was proud about all those things. What are we getting back to? We're getting back to that little stanza, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. You're looking at the cross, and you know what the cross is going to enable you to do? It's going to enable you to get an understanding about you. It's going to give me an understanding about me. And when Paul got to the cross, you know what? He completely changed his mind about himself. He's bragging. Do you see it there? He says, I'm proud about my ancestry. I'm proud about my religion. I'm proud about the things that I have done. As touching the law, he said, you know what? Blameless. Yes, he knew he had broken the law, but as far as everything he had to do after you did something wrong, he said, I've done it. Now go with me, if you would please, to the book of 1 Timothy and find 1 Timothy chapter 1. Let's see how he changed his mind. First Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 12. He says, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry. Now look what he says he was. Before he got saved, he told you before he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. A Pharisee. Someone who kept the law to the nth degree. Someone who was born with a Jewish pedigree. But now look what he says. Who was before? Oh, what are you, Paul? Or what were you? A blasphemer. A persecutor. And injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of the Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world. Look what he says, to save sinners. That's why Jesus came. But then notice that last little phrase after the semicolon. He says, of whom I am what? Chief, you know what he said? In regard to sinners, I'm number one. Don't you think that's a little change of mind? Before, he's bragging about who he was, what he was, and what he did. And now, when he got to the cross, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, and he understood something about the cross. He looks at himself, and he says, you know what? He says, I am the sinner of sinners. Remember what Paul said, I believe it's in Romans chapter 7, verse number 18. He said, I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. Remember what he said in Romans chapter 3, verse number 10? As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. He just said in Philippians chapter 3, he says, as touching the law, he said, blameless. Concerning the righteousness which is of the law, he said, blameless. He thought he was righteous because of what he did. Now he understands really what he was in life. He was a wicked, ungodly sinner above all sinners. And the way that he came to that understanding is he looked at the cross. And the cross gave him an understanding about himself. And if you take time and I take time to look at Christ and to look at the cross, you know what you'd realize? You're a dirty dog. Amen. And everything that you've been proud about all your life, when you go back to that book of Philippians chapter 3, remember, Paul was bragging there. I just showed it to you. But let you go down a couple more verses in Philippians chapter 3. And notice what he says. Verse number 7, but the things that were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things. And look what he says. What was he proud about? His ancestry. What was he proud about? His religion. What was he proud about? All right, the things that he did. Look what he says, I count them now. And you better have the right Bible, because the right Bible says, he says, I count them but dung. And you know what dung is. And if your Bible says anything but dung, you got the wrong Bible. Okay? It's got to say dung. Because you know what? If I put a cow pie here, you know what that is. And I said, will you take off your shoe and step in it, please, for me? You say, no way. Why? There's nothing lower than that. He said, everything that I, my whole life was built on something that now, since I've been to the cross, I know what it really is. It's dung. See, it's not just, oh, Jesus saved me. He did save you. He saved you because he did die on the cross, because he did bear your sins, because he did shed his blood, because he was buried and rose again on the third day. But you got to get a bigger understanding about life than that. You got to realize that he saved you. And when you look at that cross, you got to realize, oh my God, how wicked and ungodly you and I really were before we got saved. So, looking at the cross will help you to realize something about your past. All right, that's number one. Surveying the cross or looking at the cross of Christ will enable you to see something about yourself regarding your present life. It'll not only help you understand something about what happened to you in the past, it should help you realize something about your present life. Go back to the book of Galatians, if you would please. I read this verse as I was teaching on the fruit of the Spirit in my Sunday school class. And notice what the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse number 16. 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You see, because of Christ, because of the cross, because we've been saved, we are new creatures. Go back to Galatians chapter 6 and look at verse number 15. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 15. Notice again what it says there. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. Look what it says. But a what? New creature. Because of Christ, because of the cross, because we've been saved by the grace of God, we are new creatures. Remember what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And so with this new relationship and becoming a new creature, here's what you need to realize. You know what you now have? You have a new power. You have a power in you that was not there before. Here's what the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse number 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. There is a power in you now that you did not have before, and you got this power when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and the power that you got is the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to his disciples before he went back to heaven in Acts chapter 1, he said, but you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. And on the day of Pentecost, 10 days after he ascended, the Holy Spirit came in power upon believers. And since Acts chapter 2, everybody who gets born again, the moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, yes, Christ came into your heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. And you know who lives in you now? God, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Amen. There's a power in you that you didn't have before. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19, he said, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you?" Are you understanding what I'm talking about? We're talking about, yes, I understand. When I look at the cross, I understand something about the past. But when I look at the cross now, I understand, I should understand something about my life in the present. All right? And right now in my life in the present, there is a power, an enabling power. I can be everything that I'm supposed to be as a Christian, whatever it is that I'm battling against, no matter what sin it is, no matter what temptation it is, no matter what problem it is, I can overcome it because you know what's in me? A power. I want to tell you a sad story. Well, before I tell you my story, pray for Melinda Childs. Her stepdad passed away the other day. She's on her way to Virginia. Pray for her and her mom. Her dad was, stepdad was a Christian. We went out on visitation yesterday. At 1 o'clock, we have prayer time. We were upstairs by the office. My wife was sitting at the desk. I was right there by the, by the door. And her, right about 2 minutes before prayer, her phone rings. And she gets on the phone, and I can tell she was talking to her eldest brother, Randy. Some of you know him. And it wasn't just a conversation. I could see my wife getting choked up. She prayed, she talked a little bit longer, and then she hung up the phone. I said, what's the matter? And she said, Carolyn, how we called her, that's our niece. Her brother's daughter, 29 years old, died yesterday. She overdosed. She had been in jail. She got out of jail. She went to a rehab. She did the rehab time. Her oldest brother came and picked her up at the rehab, brought her to her mother's house. She was there in the house all by herself. She called up her mother on the telephone and she said, "Could I use your car?" Her mother said, "Yeah, you could use it." She went out. Her mother didn't hear from her for, all the rest of the day through the night. She called up her son. She said, "Hey, I haven't heard from your sister. Will you please go to the house and check on her?" And when he opened the door of that home and came inside, you know what he found? His sister. Dead on the floor. Now, here's what I want you to know. And I'm not saying this, listen, I'm not saying this critically. You got to understand me. If I get mad, I hate drugs. Do you understand it? I hate them. They're a destroyer and robber of people's lives. This is a 29-year-old girl. But you know what I'm wanting you to realize? When she was first born into this world, she had a Christian mother. She had a saved father. But things happened in that family when she was just a little girl. They were in church. They were in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. But then some things happened. happens in people's heads and it happens in the heart, they started getting critical. They got a critical spirit, and you know what? It wasn't too long before they fell out of church. And they didn't go anymore. Not at all. And I'm telling you folks this, and I've told you before, you got to get this. If you don't stay right with God, you will do what you did before. And her parents started doing what they did before. And the marriage dissolved. And they just were living their lives like no God. She had two babies out of wedlock. You know who has them? The state of Michigan. Now, several years ago, we didn't see her much after all that transpired. But several years ago, she came to Connecticut. And she sat down in our living room with my wife and herself. And there might have been someone else there. I don't know if Randy was there, but there was. We sat down in my living room, and I took my Bible, and I showed her how to accept Christ as her Savior. And she bowed her head in our living room. And I believe she was sincere. She asked Jesus to come into her heart, to be her personal Lord and Savior. And so if she really meant that, well, you know where she is right now? She's in heaven. She's in the presence of the Lord. But what I'm wanting you to realize, you see, folks, it didn't have to be this way. I realize people get themselves in a bad way, but here's what you got to realize. The Bible says, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There's a power in you that can give you victory over sins. And every one of you who's saved as an appointment, the Lord's coming back. I'm going to talk about that in a moment. And he's going to take us all out in the rapture and take us to heaven. But when that takes place, you have an appointment with Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm trying to tell you this. You need to get right with God. You need to be right with God because you're going to be judged, not about heaven or hell. You got that settled when you ask Christ into your heart. You're going to get judged according to the things that you've done in your own body as a Christian. And I think at the judgment seat of Christ, you know what the Lord's going to tell us? This is what could have been. This is what it was, but it didn't have to be that way. You could have lived for God. You could have had victory over your sins. You could have raised your own children and brought them to Sunday school. And gone out with a shout. You understand what I'm talking about, folks? You think about how many Christians saved, they claim they're saved, but they're not in church now. You think about how many Christians who have fallen away because they fell out and now sin's in their life. And I'm not condemning anybody, please. I'm not being critical of anybody. I'm trying to get a point across to you that, you know what? If I'm focused on the cross, if I'm looking to the Lord, I understand what I was before He saved me. And I understand what's available to me now. And I can come to Him with every concern and every care. And I can tell Him, Lord, in myself I cannot do this. In myself, Lord, I can't deal with this. In myself, it's beyond me. But dear God, with Your help, by Your grace, with the Holy Ghost who lives within me, I can live a life of victory. Looking at the cross will help you understand something about your past. Looking at the cross will help you understand something about your present. And the cross also, number three, should enable you and I to understand something about our future. You see, God started something in you and I the moment we got saved. Remember what Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 28? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, verse number 29, them He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. If you're here this morning and you're saved, you know what God's plan is for your life? One day, you're going to be exactly like Jesus. Wow. Exactly like Him. He started in you, and He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Nothing, nobody can interrupt it from happening. And what the Lord began in you at your salvation will be fulfilled, consummated when He comes back. Remember the words of John in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. He said, Beloved, or what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Wherefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. The world doesn't know who I am. They think I'm just another person like them. They think you're just another person like them. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. And it says, Paul went on to say this, the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. And he said, and we know that when He shall appear, that's in the rapture, folks. When He shall appear, when He comes in the clouds and He calls us up to meet Him in the air, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Glory! Everything in this life that plagues me, that troubles me, will be left behind. Glory! Amen. And I'll be just like Jesus. I'll have a body just like His. Amen. And you know what? I'll see Him face to face. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse number 3, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. All right? Do you believe Jesus Christ is coming back? You ought to say yes if you're saved. Well, if you believe He's coming back, then you know what you ought to be? Ready. And if you're going to be ready, then you know what you need to be? Purified. Sins under the blood. Ready for His return. Amen. He's coming back, folks. Amen. And if He don't come back on September 23rd, okay, this week.
That's right. Saturday, guys.
All right. If we're gone, Bob will preach the morning service on Sunday. It might not be September 23rd, but if it's not, it's coming soon. And when I get to heaven, I want to get everything, all the blessings that He has for me up there. And not be shorted because I wasn't doing the right thing down here. But you see, if the cross is just a symbol, if the cross is just, you know, something that you put on a chain around your neck, If the cross is just, you know, okay, yeah, I believe he died on the cross, Jesus, and I believe he shed his blood there, and I believe he paid for my sins there, and I believe he died and then he rose again there, and yes, I've asked him as my to be my Savior, and okay, I got that covered, you know. It's got to be more than that. You got to look at that cross and you got to say, Lord, I know why you died there, because of me. And I know what I am. Paul might have been the chief, but Lord, I'm number two, right after him. Get a real good understanding about yourself. I know what I was in the past, but I'm looking at the cross and hallelujah, I know what I am right now. A child of the King. The Holy Ghost of God lives within me, and I have a power in me that enables me to deal with anything that I'm going through in life. I can't understand that without surveying the cross. And realize, folks, he's coming back. And I got to be ready for when he comes. Everything needs to be right. Everything needs to be clear. I need to be doing things that will earn me crowns in eternity. Otherwise, when you get there and you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, hey, listen, I know you'll be in heaven forever and ever and ever. But for a minute, when you're at the judgment seat of Christ, you're going to have to look at the film. This is what could have been. And even though you're in heaven, you'll weep. That's why when you read the book of Revelation on two occasions, God's talking about Christians. He says, the Bible says, John said, God himself shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. There'll be some tears in heaven. Let's pray. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Hey, Christian, you want to come this morning and just talk to the Lord? Take a little trip to the cross. Why don't you come right now? And no one, just come on. You don't have to wait for a piano to play. Just come on. May I ask you a question, Christian? Maybe you're here right now. You're saved. You know you're saved. But if you were really to be honest, you'd have to admit, Pastor, I've gotten away from the Lord. I'm here Sunday morning, but I have gotten my eyes off the cross. And as you close out the service this morning, will you pray for me? Just slip your hand up. Just won't call you out, won't embarrass you. Just slip your hand up and say, will you pray for me this morning? Yeah, God bless you. Yeah, God bless you. Just slip up your hand, take it down. See, I'm not going to point you out. Just slip your hand high enough so I could see it for a moment. Hold it up. And then you can take it down. Yeah, God bless you. Maybe you're here this morning. Let me ask you this question. I'm going to pray for you Christians in just a moment. Maybe you're here this morning and you do not know that if you died today that you'd go to heaven. Oh, you know Christ died on the cross, but you've never received him into your heart to be your personal Lord and Savior. You don't know that you've been born again. You don't know that you have forgiveness of sins. You don't know that you have eternal life. And while no one's looking right now, would you be honest enough to just slip up your hand, and with the uplifted hand, you're saying, Pastor, will you pray for me? I don't know that. I'd like you to pray for me because I want to know it. I'm not going to call out your name. I'm not going to point you out. I'm just going to say, God bless you. Anyone like that, just put up your hand. Hold it up and then take it down. I'm not saved. I need to get saved. Will you pray for me? Anyone like that at all? All right, then let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the cross. Help us to be able to say, like the Apostle Paul, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing for any one of us to be proud about. Lord, we realize what we are without the cross. We're nothing. We're sinners. We have no power. We have no abilities. We need you, Lord. Thank you that you're coming again. Thank you that you're going to finish what you began when you saved our souls. May the cross be everything it was to Paul, to us. Help us, Lord, like Mr. Watts, when I survey the wondrous cross, to look at it, to glean from it everything, Lord, that you have for us and everything that's contained therein. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to sing just a couple of stanzas of this invitational song, and then we'll finish with a prayer.